Welcome to another Blind Like Me. This is being recorded on the 30th of April 30th, which means the year 2006 is one-third gone. That amazes me. I can't believe. Time is just moving so fast. I wish we'd just stop and pause and assess what's really going on. But anyway, we keep moving. And that's the way it is. Our guest is Vicki Moore from Muncie, Indiana. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine.
Well, no, you're wonderful. That's what
yes,
you said.
Yes, I am. I'm very wonderful.
I called you and said, I'm wonderful. Well, that's good. I always like to hear people that have a good kind of a positive attitude. And you are in Muncie, Indiana. I know nothing about the state of Indiana other than the song Back Home in Indiana, it's an old song that you probably never even heard, have you?
Yes, I have.
Have you? It's that's an old song we used to play many years ago. And I did, like I said, I interviewed a guy that owns a radio station in Indianapolis. I think he owns two. I can't think of his name. Blind fellow. So you would be our second from Indiana. What you were born and raised where? Tell us a little about your childhood.
Well, I was actually born in Lawrenceburg, Indiana, which is down south. It's on the Ohio River, right, pretty well right across from Cincinnati. And
Cincinnati.
I was actually adopted 10 days after I was born.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And you, and as a child, did you know that, or I guess you learned that later in life, or what?
Yeah, I knew it. My parents actually adopted me and my brother. He's 3 years older than I am. We're not actually biologically brother and sister. And so our mom, you know, let us know that we were adopted when we were old enough to understand.
Yeah.
And so I knew it all growing up. And, you know, she was very open with us, mm-hmm. and let us know that, you know, she made a deal with us that when we turned 18 or we graduated from high school, whichever came first, mm-hmm. that if we wanted to search for our birth parents, that it was all right with her and that she would help us.
I guess there would be some discussion among people about whether it is best to tell a child that she or he or she is adopted or not to, which it has the most psychological effect on them. And it would be the kind of like the same discussion of should blind children go to public school or should they go to regular blind schools. Mm-hmm. So it would be the. But your foster mother, or actually your mom, told you at an early age that you were adopted. Did mm-hmm. that? How did that make you? Didn't make you love her any less?
No. I really don't remember the exact conversation.
Yeah.
I think I was a little upset at first, just kind of, you know, trying to process the whole thing. But, you know, got over that really quick.
Yeah. Kids are resilient. They can they can take a lot. They can handle a lot more information, I think, than we old foolish adults give them credit for.
That is very true.
I had a stepdaughter that I didn't tell she was a stepdaughter until she was 14, till I was planning to divorce her mother.
Oh!
And it really upset her pretty bad. I don't know that I don't know that forgiving would be the word, but she took it very badly. She had no idea, but I wanted to tell her because I knew when I left that her birth mother And I had adopted her. I knew that her birth mother was going to tell her. And her birth mother would put it in a bad light, and so I wanted to be the one who told
her.
So,
and it probably was better coming from you.
So before I left her mother, I knew I was going to, and before I did that, I told Sheila that she was adopted, and she took it very... I don't know what I expected, but what happened wasn't what I expected. Anyway,
Yeah. That's
neither here nor there. So you were this is a small town in Indiana, I gather?
If I remember correctly, when I came to Muncie, Carsville was about 17,000 people,
uh-huh.
I think.
Oh, yeah. I would consider that a nice size town, really. And so as a child, did they let you do pretty much what you wanted to? I mean, they didn't try to shelter you as a blind child?
No. My dad was very, very overprotective. I could not stay very far from the house. He always felt like he needed to have a good eye on me.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't use scissors. I couldn't get very close when my dad had the car trunk open. I couldn't get very close to the trunk lid because he was afraid it would fall.
So a little overprotective, maybe.
I feel. That's my feeling. But.
Well, parents mean well, but they don't realize that trunk lids fall on sighted kids, too, you know.
That's true.
sighted kids stab themselves with scissors just like blind children do. I didn't ask you, what is your level of vision? You're totally blind?
No, I have sight. I have 2800 in my right eye and 2400 in my left eye.
But you are completely legal. I mean, you're legally blind.
Yes, I'm legally blind.
Yeah, that's a long way from driving vision.
Oh, yes, unfortunately.
And this has been this way all your life?
Yes. My condition is a birth defect.
Uh-huh.
It's called optic hypoplasia. It's the underdevelopment of the optic nerve.
Okay. Which is kind of what I had. My optic nerves didn't develop at all, so that left me with no vision. So Dad, a little overprotective. Mom let you do a little more or not?
She always tried to make me very independent. I think nowadays she says that she made me too independent, but...
Nah, no such thing as too independent. I don't think any such thing as being too independent. When they decided to send Vicki to school, what was their decision to send you to public school, I bet?
Okay. I started out in public schools, and I had an itinerant vision teacher that came in, a couple of days a week. When I was in the second and third grade, my teacher actually sent a note home to my mom telling her that I could not be taught.
Not be taught?
Yeah. If I remember the wording correctly, that's basically what it said. Now, I'm not going to say that I was a, wonderful child. I mean, I have heard from various people that, I acted out in different things. But
you can't mean it. You can't mean it, Vicki. Don't tell us. So you were acted out, did you?
But I also have a speech impediment. So I also had speech therapy also. And when I was in about the second or third grade, we moved. And my parents had already gotten divorced at that time. And we moved from Connersville to Indianapolis.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was at that point in time when my mom decided to put me into the Indiana School for the Blind.
Okay, so they sent but this teacher sent a note only saying that you couldn't be taught. That's pretty strong.
Yeah, I know.
That's pretty stout and pretty hurtful for a child. Of course, maybe you didn't know that what that note said, or so they put you in the Indiana School for the Blind, which is not a bad thing. What did you think of that?
I liked parts of it. I didn't like other parts of it.
Yeah, okay.
I it always seemed to me I never fit in anywhere that I was. I got picked on in public school, made fun of, and harassed, and I got the same treatment when I was in the blind school.
Because of your speech impediment, you think?
Possibly that's part of it. You know, kids are cruel.
Kids are cruel. We've established that. Kids are just really hard on each other, and they seem to thrive on that. And why, I don't know. I guess to maybe make themselves look better, they pick on weaker vessels, weaker someone not as strong or not as able as them. But yes, you're right. Kids are cruel.
And at that time, you know, like I said, my parents had gotten divorced.
Uh-huh.
And my parents had joint custody of my brother and I.
Uh-huh.
So one weekend, I would go home and stay with my dad, and the next weekend, I would go home and stay with my mom. And it alternated like that.
Yeah.
And my home life when I was with my dad was very turbulent. My dad is a drinker. And there was some, you know, stuff going on there that, you know, probably, you know, translated over to my school life and my acting out and different things.
So childhood for you was not really that pleasurable?
No. I mean, yeah, there were some good parts, but there were some bad parts, too.
Well, you never were hungry, and you weren't cold.
No, nothing like that.
You weren't cold, and you were clothed, and you were, you know, you were taken care of, I suppose, but
yeah.
Childhood, you know, blindness robs children, especially total blindness, robs kids of so many things in childhood. I've watched my grandchildren, my nieces and nephews and grandchildren and my children grow up, and kids run and kids play and kids chase and kids do this and kids do that, and blind children are denied that.
Yeah.
Because they can't see to do those things. My childhood was my home life was great because I made it great. I did a lot of playing. But your dad was a drinker, and so that was a turbulent. And your mother divorced him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. It just seems like to me, adopted parents who adopt a child ought to agree not to get divorces. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's stupid. I know, but. So you would go, you'd stay there at the blind school during the week,
mm-hmm.
and then on the weekends you would go one weekend with Dad and one weekend with Mom. That would have been turbulent enough without your dad's problems.
Yeah. And I was only at the school for the blind 2 years. It was my fourth grade year and half of my fifth grade year.
Did they attempt to teach you Braille, or were they in the sight-saving?
No, I was reading the large print book.
Okay.
And then in my fifth grade year, my mom was working for a company called Joann Fabrics at the
uh-huh.
time, which is a sewing store.
Uh-huh.
And we had moved from Indianapolis to Elkhart. And her superiors had asked her to go to Florida to manage a store down there. So in January of, I believe it was 84, we moved from Elkhart, Indiana to Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Really?
So at that time, I went back into public school.
Okay, so but that was quite a change from Indiana to Florida. So
yes,
that was traumatic.
Yeah, we were swimming in the ocean in January.
Yeah, because people think the Florida climate is ideal. It gets really hot in the summertime in Florida, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I've been there. So swimming in the ocean in January and went back to public school. And
yes.
How did we do there? How did things...
Well, not so good. I went the first... I was in two different schools that year, I do believe. But anyway, toward the end of the year, they have, you know, progress reports, and they brought my mom in for a meeting. And they were telling her that I was not at the same level as the other kids.
Okay.
if I remember things correctly, and I'm, you know, talking secondhand here, the consensus that I got was that the School for the Blind, you know, is more at the pace of the child versus, you know, going at a certain curriculum pace.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so they thought that I wasn't up to par with the rest of the kids. So I was held back a year, and I did my fifth grade over.
Well, lots of kids do that. Lots of kids are held back a year. Did that?
Yeah.
That so you're now about 10 years old, 8, 9, 10 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And did that bother you? I mean, how'd you feel about that?
At the time it really didn't bother me.
Yeah.
Because we had moved around a lot when I was growing up, so I was used to having different schools and different classmates.
Different friends. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of a new start when they moved you back, because then you got a whole new set of kids that didn't know all the stuff you'd done last year.
Right, exactly.
I was held back. I always liked the new kids, because I always thought, because I was bigger than them, and that was kind of, you know, I was held back a lot. And you get these new kids, and it's, you know, they don't know all the BS that you did last year.
Right.
And it's, so fifth grade, they held you back a year, and mm-hmm. did you start doing better, or what?
I think so, yeah. I never did, you know, very poorly in school, I don't think. So I finished up my second year of fifth grade. I was getting ready to go into the sixth grade, which down there is actually middle school. But during my summer break, I had come up to visit my dad, and the year before, I do believe, like I said, my brother is 3 years older than me, and growing up, my brother was my protector. You know, he looked out for me. You know, we had our typical brother-sister squabbles.
But he took care of you.
He took care of me. And at the time, he was 14, I do believe, and running a car and getting into trouble and doing the stuff that, you know, typical boys do.
Yeah.
And he had decided to come back up to Indiana to live with my dad because he wanted a car and my mom couldn't afford the insurance.
Okay.
And so I was kind of lost without my brother.
So you didn't go with him. You went back to Florida.
Right. I was still in Florida. And so I was kind of lost without my brother. And, you know, at the time, you know, she was doing what she could. But at the time, my mom was working, I do believe, like from 7 in the morning until 10:30 at night.
So you were by yourself a lot.
Yeah.
You were alone. You were.
Uh-huh.
And that's not good. Of course, we're in... What is this, 86, 87?
Actually, this would have been 85, I think.
85. So, yeah, of course, you had TV, I guess. But there were no other children there. So you were home all day by yourself.
Yeah.
In the summertime, and when you came home from school in the afternoon, you were by yourself also.
Yeah. I had a few friends that lived close by that I could go hang out with, and I had swimming pools and...
Yeah.
We lived about 2 blocks away from a public pool, so I could go there and hang out there for a little while. But, you know, I was used to having, you know, my brother with me and different things like that.
And he was gone, yeah.
Yeah. So,
all right.
The next summer, in 85, when school let out in 85, I went to come up here to Indiana to visit my dad. And, we got talking, and he asked me if I wanted to come live with him, and I said yes. And so they started the procedure to get custody of me.
Because your mother was not for this.
No.
She was against it.
No, she was against it, and I must say that, you know, my actions at that time were not very, very nice to my mother. I kind of... really ended up hurting my mother a lot, and
yeah,
you know.
But by strictly through, I mean, you didn't intend to hurt your mother, you just, things happened.
Yeah,
and
things happened.
You had to make some choices that weren't popular with your mother.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tell you what, let's take a little break and then come back and get you into high school.
All
and
right.
Talk about your college and what you decided to do in life, what you thought about life. Vicki Moore is our guest, and I'm back in just a minute with more Blind Like Me. Hang on.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my can caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your can is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at blindmysmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
Of a chance with you.
Well, here we're back with more Blind Like Me. Vicki Moore from, you told me, is it Muncie that you live in? Muncie, Indiana, up where it really gets cold in the wintertime. It does. It gets very cold. We have her being actually moved around a good bit, went to the Indiana School for the Blind, moved to Florida, has decided now that she wants to come and live with her dad, and you were about 12 years old now, and the kids, they I know because my wife is an attorney, that when a kid's that old, they take the kid's wishes into consideration.
Yeah.
The judge will usually talk to the child. And so did your dad get that done?
Yes. That went through.
So you gave up your mother for your brother, really?
Yeah.
Just to be honest about it. Well, was that a good decision, you think? What do you think?
Well, yes and no. Like I said, I really hurt my mother by my decision, and, you know, it took us a long time to get past that, but we have.
You have now.
Yeah, we have, and
that's
I have
good.
A really good relationship with my mom. I love my mom. She's a wonderful lady.
And always was. It was just you wanted to be with, you wanted your brother back.
Yeah.
And you wanted to be back in Indiana, which is where your roots were, or still kind of are. Okay, what, did they send you to public school in Indiana, or what did they do?
Yes, I went back to public school in Indiana. I started out in sixth grade and went on from there. And I finished out my school career in public school. I never went back to the blind school.
Never went back to the blind school. Finished in public school. Did your grades start to improve? I mean, did you do pretty well? What was high school like for you?
High school was good. High school was very good. I had some rough stints in sixth grade. I think it was really coming back and getting back to kids I was familiar with from elementary school and that sort. And I had some health issues. And so I missed a lot of school in sixth grade. And my sixth grade teacher told my dad and my stepmom that I would probably never make it through high school. And then when I got to high school, I started making honor roll.
Really?
A lot.
That's
and,
good.
That's
good. That's
yeah.
wonderful.
And
so you started making real good grades and just everything changed.
Yeah, yeah. And the first ceremony that I went to get, they give you little medals and uh-huh. stuff to go on, like a Letterman jacket.
Yeah.
And the first time I went to mine, my sixth grade teacher, her daughter, was in my class. And we were both at the ceremony. And my stepmom said that when I walked up on stage to get my award for being on honor roll, the look on my teacher's face was just priceless.
Well, teachers can be wrong. She made an assessment and a judgment, and she thought she was right, but... obviously you were intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
You had the ability to do these things. You were just having some social problems, and kids do that. I mean, you were partially blind. You were adopted. Your adopted parents had separated. Your relationship with your mother had deteriorated. Yeah, I think you had a right to have some problems.
I've always been kind of socially awkward.
Yeah. Well, and there's that, but in high school you blossomed, honor roll,
mm-hmm.
graduated high school in what year, 1992, graduated high school. What did you think you were going to do with your life? What were your ambitions, what were your goals when you got out of high school?
Well, my talent teacher, when I was in my sophomore year, started getting me ready for college. And I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. At the time, I had a horse in Ohio at my mom's place. So for a while, I thought about being a horse trainer. But then I started thinking about maybe being a veterinarian. Or then I found out that because of my vision, I couldn't be a veterinarian, but I could be a veterinary technician. And so I had done a day working with a vet. I had gone up to Purdue to their open house, went through that, and really thought that was a good idea for me.
That would be unusual for a blind child, but I don't see why not.
Yeah, unfortunately, my dad and my stepmom had other ideas.
Uh-huh.
They went to my itinerant teacher and basically told her to stop putting stupid ideas in my head.
Well, I don't think that's a stupid idea. And you didn't either, did you?
No, I didn't.
Stop putting stupid ideas in this child's head. So did she? I mean...
No, I think we just kind of went underneath the radar.
But you gave up on the idea of becoming a veterinary assistant.
I did.
That's a shame, if that's what you wanted to do, you know, because I don't know any blind person that's done that, but I don't see why they couldn't.
Yeah. But after that, I think I started leaning toward, because my itinerant teacher was with me all through high school,
uh-huh.
and she was just a super lady, helped me through a lot of turmoil and different things. And so I decided, by the time I graduated, I had decided to try and become a special ed teacher.
Well, that's not bad either. We need lots of those.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did we do about that? You went to college?
I went to college. I graduated high school June 7th of 1992.
Uh-huh.
The day after that, I was in Evansville. Evansville University has a summer program for students with disabilities
okay.
to get them ready for college life.
Uh-huh.
Usually you do it the summer before you graduate, but I went through it the summer I graduated high school.
Yeah.
So I went through that. It was is a 9 or 10 week program.
Now you say kids with disabilities. Are you talking about kids that have physical disabilities and also blind children, or also this is all kinds of disabilities, not just blind kids?
I think it was all disabilities, but the program I went through was, I do believe, all blind and visually impaired students. If
okay.
I remember correctly.
So at that point in time, you met some other blind people your age.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is I think, always good.
Yeah, and it was my first experience with people that had guide dogs.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And so that was a really, really neat experience, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, now this was like a three-month thing that...
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, good, and you felt like it was worth doing. I mean, this was to prepare you for college life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What in September? Where did we do?
Okay, I finished up in Evansville, had a week off, and came to Ball State. And that was a big switch for me because, I had really never been away from home, never been on my own for that long a period. And
so you lived in the dorm?
Yeah, lived in the dorms. And the agreement that I had with my parents is that they let me come to Ball State because it's only an hour drive from Connersville.
Uh-huh.
So I had to agree to come home every weekend or every other weekend.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
Oh, bummer. Why did they want you to do that, I wonder?
I'm not really quite sure.
Now, you're talking about your parents. You're talking about your father and his wife.
Yes, correct.
Wanted you to come home every other weekend from Ball State. Wonder why?
I'm not really sure.
I'm not either. that seems foolish to me. But you did that.
I did that for a little while. And at this time, I was working with vocational rehabilitation. And actually, I've been working with them for quite a while during my schooling.
Uh-huh.
And they had gotten me some equipment to use at school. And they were also helping me pay for school. And I was also getting financial aid, other places and grants and all that kind of thing. And at this time, I had gotten on SSI.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
And... I'm sure you know how expensive college is.
College is expensive, and by that time we were into computers, and so you needed one.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And did you need a screen reader, or can you see well enough to read the screen?
I can see well enough to read the screen. Sometimes I do use magnification, but most times I just enlarge the screen font.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
College
is expensive. Was expensive then, but now,
yes,
it is cost prohibitive for middle class people almost now.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ball State, and you were studying to be a special education teacher.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But you had to take all the normal things, English and languages,
yeah, all the core classes.
Yeah, all the core classes. All right. Did everything go okay? Good grades, good. And
I think it was my second semester at Ball State, they put me in my first practicum, and that's where they stick you in a school, and at the time they stuck me in an elementary school. So I had, I think I was in a fourth or fifth grade class.
Uh-huh.
No, I take that back. I don't think they were quite that old.
Uh-huh.
It might have been third grade.
Third grade.
And I did really well in the elementary school. The kids were great. The teacher that I was working with was really fun, and we got along really well.
And kids that age have not developed the cynical attitude or the hateful attitudes that they sometimes get.
Correct.
Later on, because they're 8, 9 years old, and they're happy, and they're just kind of coming into their own. And
correct.
And that would be probably good. Third grade, fourth grade. Probably be good kids for you. And you enjoyed that.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that a lot. And I did fairly well with my schoolwork and coming up with lesson plans and that kind of thing. And then my second year at Ball State, which would be my third semester,
Yeah.
My second practicum was in a high school here in Muncie. And
yeah.
The classroom that I was in was a multi class with kids that had several different disabilities.
Okay.
And that was a lot harder. That was a lot more challenging. And I tried going in with the attitude, okay, I'm visually impaired, I'm in college, these guys are in high school, you know, maybe they'll look at it and see, you know, hey, she's doing it, she's making it.
I can too.
I can too.
But that wasn't true?
That, unfortunately, that wasn't how it worked out. Like you said, at that age, you know, kids are kind of cruel and acting out different things.
Sure.
They ended up kind of taking the fact that I couldn't see very well to their advantage. They would try and get away with things, and if I caught them in the act, then they got upset. And I remember one day in particular that I had gotten a couple guys. I caught them two or three times doing things that they weren't supposed to do, and they ended up getting sent to the principal's office. And they weren't very happy about that. And so at the end of class, it was just me, the teacher, and one of the guys that I had gotten in trouble. And as he walked out of the class, he said, I'm not coming back while this witch, for lack of a better phrase, is still here, but he used the other word.
I'm not coming back. Yeah.
And I'm a very emotional person, which can be good and bad, and that really hit me hard. And
calling you a bitch, right? And so it upset you really bad.
Yeah, it upset me really bad. And the teacher sat down with me, and she's like, you know, Vicki, you can't do this job and be as emotional as you are.
And she's right. She's right. That was a bad thing for that boy to say.
Yeah.
And she's right. You can't be that emotional because kids are going to be kids and they're going to be idiots.
Yeah.
So that didn't really work out that well, this high school.
No, I decided that I couldn't see myself doing that for, you know, 30, 40 years and keeping my emotions out of it. So I decided to change majors. I decided to go into business, the business side of it.
Well, that's a shame because we need, while we do need VI teachers for high school, we also need them for third graders.
Yeah.
And but you just felt like you couldn't, that this was something you weren't going to be able to handle.
Yeah. Well, and two, I'm not a very creative person, and I was having trouble, you know, thinking up lesson plans and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I really decided that I was not cut out to teach. At least,
yeah.
Not like that.
Not cut out to teach.
Yeah, not cut out to teach.
So you decided to do what then? Change your major? You were in?
I changed my major. I went into what's called BEOA, Business Education and Office Administration.
All right.
And that's what I ended up getting my first associate's degree in. Basically, I got a degree to be a secretary assistant, executive secretary.
This was a little 2-year degree, your
yeah. mm-hmm.
your 2-year your associate degree. All right, you didn't stop there though, did you?
No, I took several years off, got married, got divorced.
All right, and did what? I mean, took a couple of years off and didn't work?
No, didn't work. Didn't really do much. I had a small job one summer working at the SPCA here in town.
Uh-huh. Back with the animals, which is where your heart is.
Yeah, I'm an animal person. I have two dogs, a cat, and a yellow cockatiel.
So you got married, and got divorced.
Yes.
How long did all that marriage last?
Well, marriage only lasted a year. We lived together 2 years before we got married.
Is this just a fully sighted person or another blind person?
Yes, this is a fully sighted person. Wrong situation.
Long, bad story. We won't put you through that. What? But you didn't have any kids?
No, I cannot have any kids.
And so you didn't. If you can't, you didn't.
Yeah.
Marriage, bad marriage, got out of that marriage, moved back home or moved, did what?
No, I stayed here in Muncie. I had a friend of mine that had a small apartment building, and he rented me a small apartment, and I decided that I wanted to go back to school. And I was looking through some stuff, and I had seen an ad for Ivy Tech State College. And they had some computer classes. And when I was at Ball State, I had worked in what's called Adaptive Computer Technology Lab,
sure.
ACT Lab.
Yeah.
And the woman that I worked with was totally blind.
Yeah.
And she was an amazing person. And she took apart computers and put them back together totally blind.
True.
And she really got me interested in computers.
Well, we know lots of blind people who do that now, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And so you decide, well, by then we're up into the mid-90s or later.
This is 2000 when I decided to go back to school.
And computers by then were ubiquitous. Everybody had one, and they're here to stay, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you went back to school and for two more years and got a degree in what?
I got a degree in CIS, Computer Information Systems.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of my degree, I also got an MCSA, Microsoft Certified Systems Administrator.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Tell you what, let's do. We're about 40 minutes in. We got about 10 more minutes to go. Let's take another short break. And we want to talk about how you got that. Because that would be a useful thing. Microsoft, whether we like them or not, they are around. And you're going to use Windows or, you know, of course, a lot of people don't. But I'd say 90% of the people who run computers use Windows in some form. And whether we consider Microsoft the Antichrist, which some of us do, or not, they're here to stay. And we want to talk about that. Vicki Moore is our guest from Muncie, Indiana. I'm Phil Park. We'll be right back. Hang on.
A website our crack research team certifies screen reader friendly. Now, with this week's Blind Sight, here's Tim Cummings.
Are you a real old-time radio nut? Well, I have found the perfect site for you. And the best part is it's totally free, especially if you're a blind, visually impaired person. It's called www.fear. That's F as in Frank, E-A-R, youcanhear.com. This site has thousands and thousands of old-time radio shows on the site. What you do is you go to the site, you sign up for free, totally free, as a blind or visually impaired person or a person with a disability, and you can download thousands of hours of old-time radio programming or play them at your computer right on the site. They're in MP3 format, everything from Amos and Andy to Johnny Dollar to Box 13 to Lone Ranger, Fibber McGee and Molly, tons and tons of radio shows that'll give you hours and hours of listening pleasure. The site's very easy to navigate. I would give it a screen reader friendliness rating of a 9. The site again is www.fearyoucanhear.com. For Blind Sights, this is Tim Cummings saying, keep on blind sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blind Sights.
Vicki Moore from Muncie, Indiana. And we've got you through college, through a marriage, a bad marriage, got out of that, back to college, and a degree in computers, and you got certified by Microsoft. Now, to do what?
My MCSA is a certification to be a systems administrator, which is somebody who takes care of a network, a computer network.
Yeah. And all computer networks have them.
Yes.
That you would, so you would make sure that the equipment for the network was running properly?
Yeah, I would make sure that all the computers were talking to each other, talking to the server, being able to access the Internet if that was a part of the network.
Well, I wish you were here now. My Internet's been down since Friday night.
Oh.
And we're about to go crazy.
I understand that.
We're just about to go. My wife, especially, is just going. It got so bad yesterday that we hooked her up to dial up.
Oh, no.
Brother, you don't want to do that. It's terribly slow.
Yes.
And she just got more frustrated. I finally made her unplug and give that up.
Yeah.
But we've been down since I went to check email about 6 o'clock Friday afternoon, and it was down. And we don't know why. I've unplugged modems and changed routers and moved things around.
Let me ask you this.
What?
Are you with SBC, AT&T, DSL?
I'm with a company called Consolidated. It's a little local Texas sort of a company.
I was just going to say, because I know for a fact, and it was on the news, that SBC, AT&T, DSL was having problems a couple of days ago.
Well, of course, we don't know, you don't know who is the real provider for these little companies.
That's true.
So this could be. I'm sure hoping it's their problem and not mine, because my phone wiring is so, I did most of it myself, and it's been 6 years, and I've forgotten what I did, running Cat 5 all around, and as we've got four computers hardwired into the router. And we're down and going crazy. We're not connected. And on top of that, my wife's office, their computers at her office. They're carpeting her office, so all the computers at the office are down also. So we are disconnected from the world this weekend, and it's just...
Yeah.
Anyway, so you got a certification from Microsoft to be a systems administrator. Now, would this mean that you could set up a network, that you would have that sort of knowledge?
Yes.
Okay, and you got a degree in, I guess they would call it computer science or computer technology, or...
It's Computer Information Systems.
Computer Information Systems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but you abandoned the idea of working with assistive technology, with computers for blind people.
Well, I haven't abandoned that. I'm not around adaptive technology that much. It's not something that I'm, around a bunch. I'm still intrigued by it, and I do have several friends that use it.
Yeah.
It's just, there's nowhere that I'm aware close by to learn how to use it.
Yeah.
Ball State, I know it still has an ACT lab, and I know someone that works there, and I've asked them if they have any job openings, but as of yet, they don't need anybody.
Well, but they might someday.
If that changes, then yes, I'd love to go back and work there again.
With your knowledge, you'd be really good at that. Have you been able to take this degree and make yourself a living with it?
Kind of, yes and no. The MCSA, I haven't done very much with. Unfortunately, the computer technology changes so fast.
Yes.
And Microsoft upgrades their stuff so often that I am unable to keep up with the certifications. The certifications are very expensive. They're like, almost $300 per test. And, you have to go through the classes and learn everything. And before I went for my degree, I actually went through two other small certifications called A+ and NET+.
Okay.
And that is for computer repair, and the NET+ was, again, some of the networking. And I did so well in those is why I was encouraged to go for my degree. Right now, I am more into the computer repair. I love doing the computer repair. I just built myself a new computer last year from scratch, because the only one I had built previous was the one that we built in class.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some clients. I'm trying to build up a small computer repair business out of my home.
Now, when we talk about building a computer, we're talking about buying a case, a power supply, a motherboard, and putting them in a hard drive, and the proper amount of RAM, and hooking up all the USB ports, and we're talking about actually physically building the mechanical workings of a computer.
Correct.
What a neat thing.
Yes, it is.
What a neat thing.
Very rewarding.
Do what now?
It is very rewarding.
Yeah, so you were quite mechanically inclined.
I'm getting there.
Well, that's good, and there are lots of blind people who are. You know, we do the blind handyman, and we've found...
Yes, I've been on that list for a little while, and I've learned a lot from them.
We find all kinds of blind people who know how to do all kinds of things that I never dreamed.
Yeah.
Blind people could do.
Yeah.
So you bought this computer. This computer has that you built for yourself, I would guess, would have probably a 200 gig hard drive.
Close. I at the time I just got what I could afford,
mm-hmm.
and the hard drive that I have now is actually 120 gig.
120 gig with probably a gig of RAM.
Not quite. I have 512.
512, but the possibilities of adding another 512.
Oh, definitely.
And so you built this computer, and when you plugged it in and turned it on, it worked. What a thrill. What a thrill that is.
Yes.
My daddy used to say we fixed a television or radio. He'd say, well, let's give it the smoke test. We'll plug it up, and no smoke comes out of it. I guess we'll... So you were trying to develop clientele from your home. Is there any sort of transportation available for you, like Handy Ride or any?
Yes, there is. Muncie has a wonderful transit system. It's called METS. It's Muncie, Indiana Transit System. And the buses go all over town. There's not really much areas that I can't get to. We also have what's called METS Plus, and that's the big vans. That, if you are, especially if you're in a wheelchair, and you can call these and schedule rides and say, I need to go here at such and such time and pick me up at such and such time.
And they'll come in.
I use those to get to work in the morning where I teach water aerobics.
Now, we haven't gotten into this. You teach water aerobics?
Yes, I do.
How did you, I saw this on your message that you sent me. How did you get into that? Tell me about that.
Okay. Actually, I took it over from another visually impaired friend of mine. She is basically totally blind. She has reverse RP. And she decided to go into massage therapy. And her massage clients were building up so much that she decided to give up the water aerobics and go massage full time.
So
she asked me if I wanted to take over the class from her, and I said, yeah, I'd be happy to.
Well, how did you know how to do this? I mean, I would have no idea how to teach water aerobics. Where'd you learn this?
What I did is I went to her class for 2 weeks prior to when I took over the class. And, went through her routine with her, met the ladies, got familiar with them, and then once I was sure that I had the routine memorized and down, then she stepped out and I took over, and I've been there 2.5 years now.
Well, you have alluded to the fact that you were kind of shy. and had lacked social skills. This is a wonderful thing for someone who considered herself shy and with not social skills not too good.
Yeah.
Because you're in charge of how many people are there, and I mean, are they older people or are
what? Yeah. I have about three that come faithfully every day, but I can have as many as eight or nine. And I have one lady is 72 or 73, one is 71, and I think my other one that comes faithfully is, I think, late 50s, early 60s.
So do they pay you to do this?
Yes, they do. I work at the local YWCA, Young Women's Christian Association.
Yes, ma'am.
And I make minimum wage.
Well, that's all right. You make something.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And other than that, how are you advertising your computer business?
I had some business cards made up.
Yeah.
And I stick them on bulletin boards and pass them out to the bus drivers. And
yeah, because everybody's got a computer and not too many people know too much about them.
That's true.
Well, you know, we can just hope this works out for you. And I figure it will. Like I said, my wife is a lawyer, and I believe you could. I mean, there are probably 30 lawyers in downtown Lufkin. I think you could walk around downtown Lufkin if you knew computers and networking and make a living.
Oh, yeah.
I really believe you could, because those lawyers don't know anything about computers and don't want to know. My wife knows a lot, but she's, you know, she ends up going sometimes and fixing other lawyers' computers. So I believe, I think a guy could do well. Well, Vicki, sounds like your life may not be perfect, but you're doing something and you're doing well. And I applaud you.
Thank you very much.
I think you've done well with some of the adversities that you had. And I want to invite you to Houston in November, but I'll talk to you about that later. We're having a gathering of the Blind Like Me and Blind Handyman Bunch in November. And you ought to try to come down. There'll be a bunch of us. We're going to play music and dance and promise not to insult anybody by having a motivational speaker that'll make them feel like they ought to go out and conquer the world. None of that. We're just going to have fun. Anyway, Vicki Moore has been our guest. And, Vicki, I thank you, and I'll be back in touch.
All righty.
Thanks, Vic.